is a Gutter production.
Don't pocket watch me. Okay. And don't be concerned when I just arbitrarily raise my stats.
Classic.
Say it. Say it, Lenny. Classic what?
Say it.
Classic Mike.
Perpetuate the lie.
Making up his own. Literally just told me before this, oh, you just add a bunch to however much feels good.
And you
I was
just
like,
came here and you just
and then I did it
squealed.
As well.
You just told the teacher immediately, we're in a very rainy part of the country, yet Eleni is somehow dry snitching.
It really is interesting getting used to recording together again and missing the first 40 to 70% of every bit.
Stone cold riffs, yeah.
And it's only the first 1% of the bits.
How can I possibly make an opener out of this when I missed the beginning of the bit?
You're doing it right now, dude, and it is a hilarious bit about missing the bits.
He threw the chair.
And now he's getting it back because we're going to have to sit.
We are in Casey's home. That was Casey's actual chair.
Here we go. Okay, here we go. We're traveling to a place in the near future in a world that you could say is a bit similar to ours. It is a bit similar to ours. And I guess that's all I'll say. Okay, here we are. Here's the first thing we see. It's like a high above drone shot of a dense Pacific Northwest forest. Evergreen, but what's this? Ooh, a little orange, a little yellow, a little red, crimson bursting out. Bit of color in between this deep evergreen forest. The wind carries the smell, light smell of smoke, and a distinct chill of the ocean. Pacific Northwest, Washington. Northern Washington. Here we are. Flying above. And it's very still. It's very quiet. All the trees sort of, I mean, they look like the trees in our world, but maybe there's just a slight imperceptible slant, like almost like God was adjusting trees in a mirror, and they just look slightly affected. But don't worry about that. The drone shot, because it's a drone shot, you know, we got the budget. The drone shot's coming down. Down. And we're seeing down in the middle of this forest, there is a highway. Two-lane highway. Shoots up north. Empty. We're not seeing a lot of action. Maybe we're seeing car pulled over, knocked over in a ditch or something. Don't worry about that. We're following the highway. Trees flying by. Green, green, orange, red, green, orange, red. That smell, that wooded smell. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Here we come. There's a concrete barrier, right? It's now kind of dim, you know. It's late afternoon, but it's once you get down beneath the tree line, it starts to get a little dim because the trees are all hanging over these beautiful, beautiful Douglas firs. But dead ahead, you're seeing it's a concrete barrier, but it looks like the middle of it was like blown out, like someone smashed through or had a bit of TNT and blew up. But it's like a concrete barrier is blown out the middle. It's like covered in graffiti. Spray paint, Sharpie, whatever, you know, but it's totally blocks off the highway, except for the middle part that's blown out. Seemed to, at one point, intended to block out the highway, but I say too much. There are signs all around, on the side, and the middle of the road, behind the barrier, and they're also all covered in graffiti, but if you look hard enough and you try and make out the words underneath the symbols and the expletives, you can kind of read the words. No entry. WARP barrier. Warp barrier. No entry, warp barrier. Interesting. And now we're taking kind of a lazy little turn to the left. And we see this really lovely though very rugged, definitely your high-class aunt and uncle aren't going to want to go to this bar. But maybe you are if you're kind of a cool guy who doesn't mind leaning up against a dusty bar stool or whatever. We're seeing a very lovely, rustic sort of cabin-style bar. A little worse for wear, a couple patches in the roof. There's a couple cars parked out front. We can see that there's some, like, rusted-out vehicles to the side. Some kind of, like, piles of trash outside. You can hear a generator running nearby, and we hear a vehicle pulling up. Comes into the camera, comes in, parks. It's a green hatchback, but it's sitting on some pretty solid wheels. And this guy, also similar to the bar, little worn, but rugged in the best possible way. Eleni, my friend Eleni, can you please describe this vehicle to us?
Can I swap seats with you, Cannon?
Oh, sorry, did I break it?
No, no, I think it's... This one doesn't have a pad on one of them, and I just noticed there was a lot of, like, as you were moving, it was going, like, tapped, and that's stuff I can't remove.
A lot of squeaking.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a gift for you guys. They call that... It's like the analog scratch of an LP.
Yeah.
My little bumpy chair, episode one. Whoops!
You don't get this in with a digital chair.
That's right.
Okay, so, car pulls up, green hatchback. Some monster wheels, but for a more lush description, I turn to my Eleni.
To your Eleni. yes, the car is green. It's like a acid green, but not neon. Okay, it's like a candy apple green, let's say. A little darker than that.
Candy acid.
Candy acid green. And it's got these wheels that are almost monster wheels, but not quite. It's somewhere in between big wheels and monster wheels. But it seems like a car that's trying to be an SUV. And it's got a sort of mount on the top of it with these mounted floodlights. And clearly it's set up to have extra storage at the top. There's a ton of bumper stickers all over the back of this car. There's scratches. It's a little dinged up, but it's a cool car. It stands out a little, but it doesn't stand out too much.
Boom, car door opens. We're seeing two Doc Martens coming out of the vehicle. Clunk, clunk. Person steps out of the car.
This is Violet. They are a petite cutie with green hair and space buns. Kind of messy, kind of grown out a bit. She's got a bunch of rings on, an oversized t-shirt that is one of those tuxedo. It looks like the printout of a tuxedo, but it's just a t-shirt. Shorts, Doc Martens, and they've got flower tattoos covering her whole legs. Dark, dark eyeshadow, just like smeared dark eyeshadow. Chip nail polish, earrings, pierced nose. Just looks like really cool. And angry.
Boom, door closes. Violet, this person, they walk up. Boom, boom, boom. We're following them walking up over to the front door to this bar. And we're seeing a Rainier Beer in neon in the window. And there's a hand-painted sign that says Downtown Eddie's Pub. Violet, they open the door. The smell of cigarettes hits you before the darkness hits you, and your eyes are adjusting. Like, the light is like these, it's like a lot of fluorescent lights that have been, like, painted, that flat part before the light, the flat see-through part, painted green. So it has, the whole bar has kind of a dim green kind of shade. But there's, like, other neon lights and this and that. But it's, like, kind of a sickly green shade in this bar. There's a couple people hunched over a circular bar. And looks, the bar is very DIY. Looks like the circular bar was made by hand. There's a guy behind the bar giving some people drinks. There's people sitting around. There's tube TV playing something. There's just like this bar is just like covered with shit on the walls and ceilings. Like, you're seeing old family portraits from the turn of the century. You're seeing there's a stuffed moose head that looks like it was pulled out of the swamp sitting at the end. There's a full-on Chuck E. Cheese animatronic. Chuck E. Cheese himself. And he's also looking fucked up. It's Scary Friday, Friday Nights at Freddy's file.
We got the real Chuck E. Cheese in our fucking podcast.
Hey, it's me,
I don't know how he sounds, but he's like, oh, what's going on?
I'm Chucky. I'm
Chunky J's. What's going on? I'm from Georgia. Okay, there's faux leather boots. I don't know, maybe they're not faux leather. Maybe they're bona fide. Maybe they got this at a damn auction. It was real leather. But there's these kind of like red leather boots sort of like in the back. And you can see smoke rising from these boots. People smoking cigarettes. They're smoking cigarettes damn indoors in the near future. What the hell's gone on?
Damn it, out of habit, Violet reaches into her pocket and lights up a cigarette.
Watch out, kids.
In her pocket? Oh my god, she's on fire!
Yeah, she lights up the cigarette that's in her pocket.
She goes up in flames. She's so bright and flaming and smoking.
And my new character is...
Violet is now walking over to the circular bar. Again, the circular bar, very DIY. Looks like it was fashioned together with scrap wood, garbage, and wire. You can see the bartender. He's watching TV, and the TV is showing an image that everyone in this world is very familiar with, is the Space Needle, Seattle Space Needle, getting hit by like this, just this angry, nasty, dirty flood of a tidal wave. And it just starts to crumble and falls into the water. This is a familiar and iconic image. This is something that happened 10 years ago, and just like that, on the TV, favorite newscaster Doug Grundleholm is saying,
first, there was the Cascadia earthquake hitting the Richter scale at 9.0, and then came the tidal waves. We're looking back on the 10-year anniversary of the Cascades, the natural disaster that shook our nation and redefined life on the West Coast as we know it.
Bartender scoffs. 10 years. Sure went by fast, boy. Sure went by fast. Old now.
The Cascades resulted in large regions of the coast becoming isolated from the United States. Roads were destroyed, electrical grids were downed, and the structural integrity of buildings shifted. The United States government could no longer guarantee the safety of civilians living in these regions.
And they're showing footage of fucking people, like, getting on boats, getting away from their, like, towns flooded. Like, this was a huge natural disaster that just affected everything. Collapsed homes, like...
Some might say, unlike any the country has seen.
Unlike any the country had ever seen up to this point.
The United States government could no longer guarantee the safety of civilians living in these regions and were ordered to evacuate. These regions became restricted to public access and were dubbed Western American Reintegration Precincts, or WARPs for short. Many WARPs remain to this day, inhabited by those who chose to defy orders and remain in their homes.
We're seeing all this footage. This guy's like, oh, warps, is that what I've been living next to for the last 10 years? Wow. Real shocker. Anyway, Mazel Tov, welcome.
He gets some big laughs from a
yeah,
couple
laughing.
Guys.
Yeah, they're laughing. It's like, I didn't know
I lived in a warp. There.
It's one of the guys.
Yeah, he just like, says the same thing.
He doesn't get a laugh. He does not get a laugh.
That guy was going to be my player character, but he didn't get a laugh, so I'm no longer right. going to play that guy.
Yeah, you're
going
to want to go back to right, D-Hole's house and
quickly
make
re-rolling my guy.
Yeah,
put in 75 for jokes.
Bartender turns to Violet, a person who just strolled into the bar looking cool and tough.
Violet looks as if her eyes are glued to the screen. And she looks simultaneously vacant and so sad.
Can I get you a virgin gin and tonic?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm here to pick something up, I think.
You're from... Name?
Vi.
O.
Let.
Okay, yes. WCL, West Coast Logistics. 1 second, let me get this for you. Turns around, picks up this sort of dim gray box, and there's...
There's like three other boxes that just aren't Vi spelled various ways.
He puts it on the bar and he's like, and this, some instructions for you.
Oh.
So I guess you can read them or not. I don't care. I just serve the sweet, sweet beer that these dickheads love to drink.
Woo!
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
That's funny.
That's good.
And they take the envelope and open it up.
All right. Open it up. It says... VIP in big red letters. So you know what that means.
Ugh.
You're a courier. This is really important, but it's red letters. Usually it's in black letters or they send it to an email, but that's important. Gives an address. Shaw Island. part of the San Juan Islands, you're going to need to take a ferry, especially if it's today. You're already running the math in your head of when the ferries take off. You have a pass, of course, but you might need to get moving in the next 10 minutes if you want to catch a ferry on time to deliver this. But most importantly, at the bottom of it, it says, this VIP package is to be delivered before sundown, by hand, to the recipient, Mr. Barry Treble. Shiver goes up your spine. The CEO and founder of West Coast Logistics. Your boss. Your big boss. This needs to be delivered by hand before sundown. You're looking at it, it's got like a little, there's like an emblem on it of an owl flying out of a basket. You're like, okay, interesting. You're about to leave. You and your eyes look to the back of the bar. You see someone familiar sitting in a red booth.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a child's high chair.
Sitting in a little red booth. Who do we see? Mike, can you please describe who Violet sees?
Violet is looking in the corner and she sees a familiar face to her. A big man sitting in a small red booth. Somehow he's crammed in there. He's slumped over a half-drunken, stinky IPA and a bowl of steaming chowder. There's a bunch of empty glasses nearby. This guy has had a lot to drink, but that is fine because he weighs about 230 pounds and he can hold his booze. And these are just 10% by alcohol volume IPAs. It's not a big deal. His eyes are maybe red too from other substances that he may have ingested. He's trying not to look at the TV, which is showing the event that we're all so familiar with, the big one that caused so many changes to this society that we live in. He has got frizzy black hair that is held loosely in place with a little hairband that is pulling a little bit like of a ponytail behind him. Otherwise, he would have shoulder-length hair that falls on his big, broad, muscular shoulders. He is busting out of his cream-colored Henley. When God made this man, he used an extra scoop of clay. Built this just big, I can't say it enough, he's a big boy. He has a like kind of wild, like leonine energy to him. He's like panther-like. It's like he's been rewilded in some way. Like nature has seeped into his bones and he now just protrudes a sense of danger that is currently numbed by the alcohol, numbed by the weed, numbed by the miles on his feet this past week. But he looks up from his beer and his steaming chowder, and he looks across the room through half-lidded eyes, and he sees someone who he's friends with, and his eyes spring open, and the sort of stupor on his face snaps out of place as he screams out,
"Violet! As I live and breathe, look who it is."
Hey, Bodhi, what's up?
That is a exclamation of a man seeing a friend when he does not have that many friends, and he is happy to see her. He tries to get out of the table, and he ends up kind of unhinging the table from the nails that hold it in place because he's big, and he gets up, saunters over, and claps them on the back. Violet, how the hell are you doing? Look at you.
I'm okay. It's today. You know, it's one of those days. I have like so little time. I have to get to Shaw Island.
And oh,
like,
damn.
Yeah, and I have to.
Is this for work? Is this for your job?
Yeah.
You're zipping around everywhere, huh?
Apparently, and that's like I just found out about it just now. So how are you? Are you okay?
I'm doing good. I just got back from Black Fork. I dropped off some warp weed for the old lady. Not my old lady. The old lady, just to be clear. Bodhi is single. My name's Bodhi, by the way, I say to the camera.
Are you staying safe? You gotta stay safe out there.
I
look at you, I'm not worried, but, you know, still.
I have no trouble staying safe. That's just these other people out here in the warp I'm worried about. The old lady.
Yeah.
Bebo. Baby daddy.
Oh, are you still...
That's his name.
Baby daddy still doing
that's not
it?
My baby daddy.
No, I know.
It wouldn't be a problem if I did have a baby daddy.
Of
to
course.
Be clear, I'm saying to the camera.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad baby daddy is still doing okay. I know that he was like really sick.
Yeah, well, baby mommy did pass away.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
Baby daddy was really sad about baby mommy passing away.
Yeah, but, I bet. That's horrible.
But I got some, you know, I got some DVDs. I traded some of the warp weed for all sorts of entertainment that people in the warp home are going to love. So
good.
They're going to be good. But do you want, by the way, I do have
yes.
a little extra.
Yes. Yes.
Do you want me to smoke you
really
up right?
quick? Right, really quick.
Right out back?
We have to be so fast. I have to go soon.
All
but
right.
like, I have I got, enough time
I got my
for that.
Chilling. I got
and then
my
it'll
chilling.
Just make me drive just a little faster.
Bodhi, you notice now on the bar table beside Violet, the package. About a hat box sized box. Emblem on the top. There's a basket and a red owl flying out of the basket.
Bodhi sees this and he feels all of the intoxication leave his body in an instant, all the way from his matted black shoulder length, very sexy hair, by the way. I didn't say it was sexy earlier,
sexy,
but it's,
yeah,
come on guys,
fucking,
it's pretty sexy.
It's pretty sexy.
It's sexy. And he feels it all the way down to his big black combat boots that he's wearing, which, you know, of course he's wearing those.
And yes, listener, they're sexy.
They're sexy boots. And he feels it up to his middle
sexy parts.
Middle sexy
you think
diaper
about
that
those?
He's wearing. I didn't say it earlier. He's wearing a big diaper.
Oh.
It's sexy.
Hold on. Can you guys pause for 15 minutes?
I got you.
Oh, yes.
Let's turn the lights off.
Yes. Gannon came in his diaper already.
Oh,
he has to change it.
We're all wearing podcaster
minutes, yeah,
diapers, though. It is standard procedure for a podcast. Bodhi sees this emblem on this package, and it is not something entirely unfamiliar to Bodhi. In fact, it reminds him of something very troubling that he saw
about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago.
Just about.
And suddenly you're back there in that winter forest and... ugh, shiver runs down your spine and your back.
And the smile is still on Bodhi's face, even though it has left his eyes, as he remembers where he is and remembers that he offered to, I think I'm going to smoke you out, right?
Right.
She punches him on the shoulder and she's like, right now. Yes.
Bodhi takes one damage and he only has 15 hit points left, which is a lot of hit points for Call of Cthulhu. It is a lot.
Boom! The door opens, and I just described it with my hands. Listener, you can't see it, but this is apparently a French door I've described because it opens down the middle. I didn't describe it that way before. The door to the bar is a fucking French door. Boom! Opens down the middle, and there is an individual looking rather ragged, looking a little desperate, with a big old backpack on his back. Casey, Tony, can you please describe what we all see right now? In the green, smoky light of Downtown Eddie's Pub.
In the green, smoky light of Downtown Eddie's Pub, framed by the open doorway, heaving breath, sweating red cheeks, and a frown like Violet came in with, but not out of, you know, sad reverence for this event, but a shit set of events happening right goddamn fucking now. This right here is Scratch Kelly, a man of fairly average build, wearing a light denim jacket open over a kind of low neck t-shirt. He's got joggers on and a sandy blonde mullet, but kind of like a modern mullet, like he's trying to like look young and cool. And he's got some facial hair, but you can tell that despite dressing a little bit younger, this man is in his like mid late 30s at this point. Like he's past 35, certainly. And as he stands there, raking in the view of the listener as they imagine this in their mind's eye, the two double doors that have been bounced open so powerfully come back and they catch his big, giant backpack. Because he had just taken like one step forward, which was just enough. And it, you hear plastic crack and, oh, fuck, oh, God. And he's kind of caught in the door, but he has to loosen it, and then he trips and slips and hits his knee on the ground pretty hard, and fuck.
Yeah, everyone's like, that would hurt. That would look like that.
We were both staring at this newcomer just like, what the hell?
Can I get you a virgin gin and tonic?
Are you saying that? Do I look like a virgin? Is that like an accusatory virgin gin and tonic offer?
Yeah.
That's just kind of exactly what I would like, but not because I'm a virgin, okay?
Coming right up.
Don't feel too bad. He offers that to everybody.
Oh, good. Yeah, cool.
You do look like a virgin, though.
I'm not a fucking virgin. Who the fuck are you? What?
Sorry, dude. You just came in. You busted in. You fell. Are you okay?
Yeah, this dude come in. He busted. He fell.
He fell.
Right.
Says the guy by the bar. No, nothing. Okay.
Bodhi gives him a slap on the back and says, "You're gonna be all right, kid."
My backpack. God damn it!
Sorry about that.
Plastic cracks again. Jesus.
Also, Bodhi called him kid, even though this guy is like several
Same
years
age.
Older.
Oh, okay.
Than Bodhi. And Bodhi is like, "I'm sorry about that." And he goes and walks to the bathroom because he just doesn't know how to process how awkward things are right now. And maybe some of our listeners will even appreciate when things get too awkward and you just need to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So. Boom, a glass of tonic water with a lime on it. That's
okay.
On the house because it's a joke drink now. What can I really get you?
Thank you. That's very kind of you. He's looking at his phone, like kind of distracted, and he's flicking around at it, trying to figure something out. Sorry, what's your Wi-Fi? There's no fucking signal anywhere out here.
Wi-Fi.
I don't know. It's...
Well, brother, you ever been this close to the warp? They don't let us have Wi-Fi this close. You know what the warp is, right? Western
yeah,
American
I know what
Reintegration
the fucking
Front,
warp is.
So.
I know not Recent. To fucking go there.
Well,
why am I this close to... Google Maps had me for 3 hours going west. I was trying to go east, and it was saying I was going east, and then I fucking saw a warp border wall. Like, what the... Do you guys not have, like, satellite coverage out here? What is... how do you fucking live like this, man?
He's in the bathroom, but this guy brings me a lot of DVDs.
Okay.
Do you
want to
watch
got
Wild
a DVD
Hogs?
Guy. Oh, Wild Hogs.
We got... Well, actually, the phone line's down.
I would like to watch Wild Hogs.
Okay, coming right up.
Thank you.
He turns off the 10-year anniversary. Who gives a fuck about this shit? I lost my fucking aunt in this shit. It's depressing. I'm putting on Wild Hogs.
We all lost people.
you don't even have like a phone line, like a hardwired phone line.
I mean,
how am I supposed to? I'm sorry. How do you call an Uber from here?
Oh, an Uber. What, we got the damn Prince of Wales over here?
Okay, not an Uber, but just a fucking
What's
tow truck. I need a tow truck. My fucking car and my fucking camper got run off the road by just a couple fucking psychos, which you have out here, apparently. Apparently, the closer you get to the warp, the fewer fucking screws people have, because I was doing absolutely nothing but obeying the fucking speed limit. And the okay, I'm sorry. I'm gonna
you,
take
you
a
got run
of
off
drink.
The road by a couple roughnecks. What
yes.
They look like?
I mean, they didn't fucking introduce themselves to me, but like they had leather jacket. There were mangy fucking dudes with tattoos and leather jackets with fucking reindeer antlers on them.
The bartender so grimaces.
I'm fucking Christmas.
Well, look, you're gonna have it's. You don't want to lose their well. Glad you're still with us after running into those guys. But look, you're not going to get a tow truck this far out without a, you know, escort, you know, bodyguards and guys with guns. Because the people get a little shifty around here. Anyone who's got a little bit of cash or anyone's looking to lift that off of you.
I would need a bodyguard to get a fucking tow truck.
I can be your bodyguard.
So this is like really like frail guy and his frail friend.
Yeah.
Wild
gotcha. Hogs is normal hogs to us.
Whoa, yo.
Thanks.
Wild Hogs, we like watching Wild Hogs because it sort of gives humor to the terrifying bikers
who
torture us and maim us, you know,
we
basically
can
on a weekly basis.
Because look at these.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the fucking offer, everybody. But I'm
$1 million,
kind of,
dollars, by the way.
Yeah, well,
we'll do it.
Guess what? I mean, even if you knocked off
and
several zeros, and you suck my dick,
I'll suck your dick.
Okay,
but
he will.
Even if you knocked off several zeros from that, I couldn't fucking pay it, man, because I don't even have enough money
for
fucking
for
gas
free.
to get home. I'm okay. Thank you though.
I'm not ready sucking your dick.
What the fuck? Get off me. Hey.
Damp. You got a damp jogger pocket.
Yeah.
I wasn't even it was just you yeah, sucking on your thigh.
Yeah. There's like.
Sorry.
What the hell?
You look away and you look back and both guys are gone.
They were ghosts.
Man, I swear to God, like.
No, they're just sitting under the bar.
We're hiding.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've really ruined my life. My life was already ruined. And then I came out here for the dumbest fucking reason, and I saw just how much more a life could be ruined. This is fucking miserable. I hate this fucking place and you fucking people.
The French door is open. Everyone turns. It's like a deep inhale when they see. In the smoky green light, we see two large imposing figures. One man with a very matted hair and goatee, with spindly green face tattoos that almost makes him look like a bearded lizard. And a second man with a tight goatee, sort of like kind of a roly-poly pudgy face, but a bald, slick head and bulging yellow jaundiced eyes. And it's like right on fucking time. Two leather jackets. And us and the camera, we get to see the behind the leather jackets looking into the bar. Upside down reindeer antlers.
Those two guys do go back underneath the bar again, by the way.
The bartender's jovial look is sort of tight. Can I get you two men two regular gin and tonics?
Yeah, I'll have my regular gin and tonic. And I'll have a regular gin and tonic.
That's the guy with the tight little bulging beard and big eyes. He's giggling. The other guy's raspy with the big matted beard.
Hey.
And they're sort of like walking over. And they have like kind of this vacant. I mean, they're like laughing and looking mirthful in a frightening way, but it's like the vacancy in their eyes.
Look
that's sort
who
of,
it is.
Look who we got here. Hey, I remember you.
And they just get up right up in your space and they just start touching you, just like patting you on the shoulder. Like,
it's our buddy.
Hey, I remember this guy. Hey, why are we heard you screaming from right outside.
Screaming and yelling and complaining about psychos or
some weird guy.
We're bothersome to him. I'm sorry our neighborhood's bothersome to you. Isn't that sad?
That's so sad.
Why don't you just come outside with us and we'll
make it up to you.
We'll make it up to you.
I've got 3/4 of a non-alcoholic drink I have to finish inside, and you're not allowed to take it outside the premises.
Oh, I'm sorry. We made it sound like a question.
Hey, barkeep! Is he allowed to take his non-alcoholic drink outside the premises?
Yeah, absolutely. You can take it wherever he wants. It's your glass. You can take it home and put it in the cupboard where you've got a bunch of different glasses. I don't know. I don't care. I don't know. I have one of those drawers. I don't know. That's good. See, it's fine.
It's fine.
We're fine.
We're going to take you.
We're going to take you outside, buddy.
We're going now.
We're going now.
You ready?
Hey, hold on a minute. You got a big old pack on you, this
guy. What is that?
Last time we saw him, he was driving. He had a pack on him. They call those trailers.
Oh, yeah, this trailer.
But now he's got a backpack on.
Big backpack.
He starts taking the backpack off.
Come on, man. Come on.
He's taking it off.
Get off.
He takes it off. He's on some. Hey, got it. He's like holding the backpack above your head.
That's right. Real fucking mature, man. Come on.
Hey, he's got a computer.
Oh, okay.
That's
going to
be useful for you. And, you know, by the way, you can make a bit of a buck selling these. I don't know if that's pertinent to you. Ooh, and what's this?
What's this?
We got a bookworm here. He's got a big.
He pulls out a large bound binder.
Ooh.
Thick.
Put that down.
Covered it the tons of pages.
Put my shit back, man.
What do we got? This guy's reading the adventures of Harley Potter. Let's take a look at what's he flips it open. Let's see what the fuck is this?
What is it? What does it say?
One weird trick that doctors hate can increase your sexual virility.
Okay, wait, actually, go back.
Flips to another picture.
Oh, okay.
Accept Yeshua as your Lord and Savior or suffer eternal damnation. Email this to 17 other... Flips the pages. Get bigger boobs today. Bigboobs.com. Boobs. Big boobs. 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 Boobs.
This is all spam email shit.
What do you have this for?
This spam email shit.
Put it back in the fucking backpack, man. What did I do? I didn't do shit to you guys. I didn't do shit to you. Do you have literally nothing else going on in your fucking lives?
He bops you over the head with your own binder.
Scratch takes the hit, and oh, it hurts, and he's dazed, but the book has now come back within his range. Mm-hmm. He grabs it and rips it from the guy, and then while holding it with one arm, does a wild right swing and hits that guy.
Yeah.
But probably not.
Hits him in the head. It's like hitting a concrete barrier. It hurts you a lot more than it clearly hurts him.
As he's saying, "God, we are flush from the toilet in the bathroom," for those of you with good hearing. And we hear hands being washed. Bodhi lives out in the wilderness, and you don't always get to wash your hands when you live it out in the wilderness. And we hear a door open, and Bodhi loudly exclaims, "You know, I went in there because it was really awkward out here, but I did actually have a bowel movement." And I look over and I see Violet, who's looking on this scene, and I follow her eyeline, and I see this guy who I just met who's having a bad day, and I see these two Rudolph boys.
Yeah, matted hair, yellow eyes.
Smiling wildly. And right as you're looking, you see this guy get socked right in the fucking eye.
Yeah,
this guy
matted hair.
This guy with me two thumbs.
Yeah. Scratch gets socked in the eye.
Goes down.
By the matted hair dude, hits the
back
ground.
Back of his head, hits the bar, goes to the ground.
Bodhi, backlit by the bathroom, which is now having the door close and the light is leaving, but he's a big silhouette that has now walked into the room, and he is taking inventory of these two guys, and his eyes are getting more narrow as he's going into situation mode, and he looks at Violet.
And Violet looks at him, and they have a mutual understanding that it's time to act.
And these dudes are stomping me out.
And Bodhi
right now,
calmly.
Like,
and the bartender's like, "And this is fine. This is, to me, you keep going, it's fine."
He says that out loud.
And Wild Hogs is playing on the TV, and he's like, "And this is actually funny, and I'm watching this."
Bodhi calmly walks over to the scene, and he grabs these two guys and easily pulls them off. How are they to Bodhi? What is the size differential?
Ooh.
Bodhi is about 6'2", they're, 6'3".
They're big guys. A little smaller than you.
I like to hear that. Bodhi pulls them off and then snaps both of their necks. No, just kidding. I can't just do that.
As he's holding both of them, Violet manages to take her cigarette and stick it in one's ear. Lit cigarette.
Whoa!
The matted guys, and like there's a little hair catching on fire, and he's like, "Whoa, hey!
Hey, boys. It's Bodhi."
Bodhi. "I was wondering when I was going to see you again," and his yellow bulging eyes bulge more as he's being held by the head by Bodhi, and he's like,
"How many times am I going to have to tell you to not come around here when I'm here?"
I don't know.
At least one more time. At least one more time, it seems like, right? Right?
Yeah.
Are you guys just going to leave, or are we going to have to teach you a lesson? Because honestly, I'm not going to get any experience from killing you right now. That's how lower leveled you are compared to me.
He attempts to sock Bodhi in the stomach.
I'm not going to stop him.
All right. Now that does one damage. He clips you in the stomach a little bit enough to give you a little tummy ouchie, but
Bodhi does not show that there is a tummy ouchie.
Mm-hmm.
And he will throw the one guy to the left.
Okay, bearded guy to the left.
This can be Violet's guy that you're gonna
kill. Ah!
And then I'm gonna take the other guy and look him in the face as I hold his head and just cock back and then
dynamite headbutt!
He screams as he headbutts this man. This is one of Bodhi's three moves that he has. Dynamite headbutt. You're going to see the other two later.
And the visual effects on this move are incredible.
Yeah, we go into a, like Bodhi's 100 feet up in the air. And there's like a time lapse of setting sun and rising sun.
It's like a
summon. His eyes become red and glowing. and he hurtles to earth head first directly into this clown's skull.
Okay, roll. And if it's a fail, you can burn luck.
No. I don't need to do that.
No need.
Can I get a D3 and a D6?
A solid 8 damage. You pull your head back and smash your head into this guy's cue ball. And this is potent. Immediately, it's wham. This guy's, honestly, his left jaundiced eyeball pops out of his head.
Oh.
Boom! He's quivering hard.
A little bit of viscera is splattered on Bodhi's face. And if you were to take a picture the second their two heads were touching, it might have been an intimate, tender scene between friends or lovers. Mm-hmm. But if you were to take a picture at any other second, it is just absolutely horrifying. You caught Bodhi in his attack animation, and he looks wild.
Dude.
And, you know, for some men, violence is a form of intimacy, which is so sad.
That is
maybe
so
for
sad.
This man. But anyway, boom, smashed in the head, passed out. He like hits the ground and slides out through the French doors.
Bodhi just is sort of holding the pose. The follow through is there as he, in the corner of his eye, sees Violet.
All right, Violet, the matted hair dude is like, he pulls out a switchblade and he presses the button. This is a huge switchblade.
This is like
the length of his forearm. This is a ridiculous switchblade. He's got like a giant dagger in his hand, and he's like coming towards you now.
Okay, and Violet pulls out a gun.
And he
and
drops the
it.
Switchblade. Twink.
Get out of the bar. Get out of the bar and run.
And he says,
okay. I'm gonna go.
And he starts to walk out the bar, and he walks through the French doors, and he looks back, and he says one last threatening phrase, pointing into the bar.
I'm gonna. And Violet shoots him in the head.
You see this guy's ear get fucking blown off, just like flying off his head. And he's like, ah! And he holds his hand up to his ear.
Bye bye.
And don't come back, Bodhi says. Well, finally breaking his pose. He was holding it the whole time, like, in an attempt. Well, not an attempt. He was being cool. But he hears the gunshot. It snaps him out of his violence reverie as he realizes that, wow, Violet is letting that thing fly. She's airing it out.
The guy with only one ear goes, fuck. And he drags his buddy off and sort of, like, slaps his buddy to come to. And they both are getting on motorcycles, like, pointing at you guys, like, and the guy who is coming to falls off the motorcycle, and he picks him back up and puts him back on the motorcycle. And then at this point, Scratch pops up like a mummy.
Ah, mummy!
Dynamite headbutt!
Just then, Scratch, who's snot running down his face, as the guy is just starting to steady himself on the motorcycle, Scratch pulls out a bright yellow stun gun, pulls the trigger, and shoots two barbs into the back of the guy, zapping him and making him fall off the bike.
Yeah, fuck you, buddy! Yeah, fuck you! How's that feel, punk?
And then, did he fall off the bike?
Or maybe he's holding the bike in my
hand. He holds onto the bike, and he's like, and he drives off with them. Things pop out of him. So both bikers are splitting.
Bodhi was in the process of trying to do dynamite headbutt level 2, and he's like 1,000 feet above the ground. And now, like, the earth is spinning underneath him, and, like, civilizations are, like, rising and falling, and they're singing, like, Baba Yetu, the civilization. As, like, all of his hair is growing out, and it's taking too much time, and they get away.
And then it says, like, cast interrupted.
Damn it. I'm violence reverie.
The literal smoke is clearing because everyone's cigarettes are down and their mouths are agape. And the bartender is just like, picks up his remote and puts Wild Hogs on pause. You guys know who that was? Those two guys were? Do you guys know who you were just messing with there?
All too well.
I got to work on my aim. That's not good to let those guys get away.
Those are Rudolph's kids.
Yeah.
They're called kids, but they're
fully grown.
They're big.
They're very big.
Those are not kids.
Look, you guys better beat it before they come back here and they burn my bar down. I had nothing to do with this. I wish they
Come on, Eddie. You know I wouldn't let them do that.
You don't wish that.
I don't wish that. It's just a very stressful time in my life.
Okay, all right. We're going to go. We're going to go.
I will stay right
here,
and I will defend your bar. Bodhi starts taking his clothes off.
They'll kill you.
Wait, wait.
They'll kill you.
Are these guys going to...
Pulling his pants down. I will defend your bar. Look at me.
Oh, you're
dead. I'm an honest man. I am an honest man. You're seeing tattoos kind of all over Bodhi's body. There's a tattoo of a... child's face, or no, it's a man's face. Is it a child's face? It's hard to say. It's a poorly drawn man or a poorly drawn child, but it's on his stomach and it's staring at you strangely.
Does he have a bunch of scars too?
Oh yeah, he's got scars. He's got his body is riddled with scars and holes. He's got a belly button.
The bartender is
how unique.
The bartender points a scratch and is like, buddy, you're dead. You come back in this town, they'll find you. They'll kill you. Rudolph's kids are nothing.
Did I do these dudes wrong? I'm just trying to go home.
They're fucking necrophiliac Nazis. You do not want to. They are bad dudes, okay? I don't like them. And I don't like them, by the way. I was just...
Look,
they are scary, okay?
Either of you have a cook?
Yes.
A car?
Yes, I have a car. I have somewhere that I have to be. And you will get... absolutely fucking killed if those guys come back here. And so will I.
Oh, fuck.
So will I.
You guys are safe. You guys are safe, all right? Look, I'm not going to let any of those guys touch a hair on your head.
I have to leave.
I got to go grab
and this guy has to leave.
Let me go.
And I got to come.
And I got to take you.
I got to come. And I'm going to come. I'm going to come.
Yeah. Oh, I just came. That was so fun.
You guys.
This place is fucking sick. Let's go. What is your name? Who are you?
Scratch.
All right. Name's Bodhi.
Vi. Let's go.
Vi, Bodhi, Scratch. Wait. Hold on. GM, I got to go back in and grab my backpack.
Ghost grabs his backpack.
20 minutes later.
Thank you for the reminder. I got to do that too.
Oh, yeah. You're the precious bound tome.
Uh-huh.
You pick it up. It's just like a really, it's like a huge, like 4-inch binder that's stacked full of papers.
The comical, like the nerd in college in a movie who would have this giant binder where you also see all the different colored tabs coming out of the side and loose paper, like warp papers in between.
Yeah.
This thing
coffee
is
coffee stains. Yeah. It's loved. You could call it loved. But you take your this bizarre binder tome and you put it in your backpack, zip it up. Boom, we're outside, smell of the air, away from those nasty bad cigarettes. The kids don't smoke. Beautiful trees, fresh air, slight smell of smoke, cool breeze. You guys got your jackets on. It's fall, sweater weather, guys. All right, you guys are out. We're walking over to this green vehicle, which, by the way, what's the name of that vehicle?
That's Booger.
You guys are walking towards...
ever thought of saying it like that?
First canonical Booger mention.
Booger.
All right, so you three guys are walking over to the vehicle.
Okay, you're coming with me. You have to just come with. I have a job I have to do.
I mean, as long as you're willing just to take me in my car after, I'll go with you. It's
Scratch,
fine.
I just want to say something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody in the warp are like those guys. Those guys are freaks even by warp standards, all right? I want you to understand. I know that this is not a very friendly place, but there are good people here, and... you're looking at least one of them right here. Violet is...
you're looking at least one other one of them here.
Thanks, Violet.
Are you coming with?
Oh, at this point, yeah, Violet, in your arm you have this hat box-sized box. Bodhi's eyes catch that emblem of the red owl coming out of the basket.
And he is entranced like a magpie seeing a little ring... yes, he's coming. I'm coming.
There's something in his heart he wants to know.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I gotta drop off these DVDs and medicine, but I can swing by at least for a little bit. I can hang out with you guys for a bit. And I owe you. You need some warp weed.
I need some warp weed, but most importantly, I have to get the fuck out of here right now. This package has to be delivered, and the last ferry, or not the last ferry, the second to last ferry, is so soon.
Okay.
So... everybody in.
Whatever's easiest for you guys.
Boom, 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 boom. Cars, doors closed. Rum, rum, rum. This thing looks like kind of like a crummy car, but boy, that's a
damn,
that's a nice
listen
engine.
To that baby.
Listen to that baby purr. It peels out, and we drive away from downtown Eddie's and the warp barrier nearby.
guys, it's the first interlude.
It's an interlude?
Whoa, this first interlude really snuck up on us.
Oh, it's so snuck up on us. And by the way, my name is Gannon Reedy. I'm the Game Master for Gutter!
My name is Casey Tony. I'm Scratch Kelly and also the editor of the show. I don't talk like... Why am I talking like
I don't know, because
Shaggy.
you're doing Scooby-Doo.
I'm Zoinks, guys. I'm Mike. I play Bodhi on the podcast Gutter, and I also edit some of the stuff on the Patreon. Make some noise.
Make some noise.
And I'm Eleni, and I play Violet, and I do all bunch of random stuff that you will never see or know about. But trust me, I am doing it. we wanted to talk to you guys about a couple of cool, very cool, important things. Number one being our Patreon. We have a Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/thatguttershow, or you can type in gutter.show/patreon. Either way, it will take you there. Mm-hmm. And on that, we have prequel episodes that are coming out. There's already a couple out right now. They are very good. They follow these characters and their pasts. Highly recommend.
Mm-hmm. And also, in addition to these prequel episodes, after every episode, we have a talk back for that very episode. So if you just got to get more, once you finish this episode, if
you're going to want some
more. Yeah, you
want
to hear the inside info.
You're going to want to hear us talking.
Gutter talk.
Yes, gutter. You can listen to Gutter Talk.
Gutter Talk.
We've also got a Discord, Gutter Discord. Check out the show notes for that link.
Yeah, all that stuff will be in there. You can get started. Join the conversation right from the beginning.
I like reading people talking about the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
My favorite are the Patreon comments. When I see a Patreon comment, I say, here's someone who felt strongly about this and they posted on a website, not in a chat forum or
That's
something
right.
like that, something casual.
That's true.
They freaking logged on and posted.
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, Discord is still fucking nice, but I feel like you get a multiplier when you post on a Patreon as one receiving it.
It yes. feels so good, but it also feels good to see our follower counts on our various social medias rise, probably as good as it feels to follow our social media accounts, which is what I'm recommending that you do. Check out That Gutter Show on Twitter. Now, I ain't calling it X.
No.
Check us out on That Gutter Show on Instagram, That Gutter Show on, hell, TikTok.
We're trying to do something on there.
We're
yeah.
old
we'll
as hell.
It out.
We don't know what we're
we'll
doing.
We'll figure it out.
Maybe I'll quit
we'll
my
there.
Job and move to a hype house, and then I'll learn all about it real quick. That could happen.
Guys, we're influencers.
We're also on Blue Sky.
And
that
we're,
Gutter
oh,
Show
yeah, we're on Blue
on
Sky.
On Blue Sky. Follow us on there, too.
Yeah, get in there and mix it up. And hey, by the way, I got a special message for the rule heads out there. Some of you guys are like, hey, aren't you guys a tabletop role-playing actual play real play podcast? Don't you have dice? Yes, we do, and we do play with dice. I'm not hearing enough rules. Well, let me tell you, there's rules underpinning this, and if you are a person who likes rules and knowing what rules we're playing with, we are playing with Call of Cthulhu, sort of mashed up with Delta Green. If you're curious about what specifically is going on in the minutia of that, just take a look at the show notes. There's going to be, one, a lot of things for you to look at, but two, if you're a rule head, you're really going to like the link to a document sheet of the rules that we are playing with. Anyway, I've gone on for too long. I want to end my segment of the interlude with a huge thanks to my wonderful partner who I love, Michaela Heidemann. Seriously, Michaela. Okay, so I just wanted to shout out, if you notice in the credits, Michaela and I are credited with the scenario writing. Michaela helps me a profound amount and actually contributes a lot of writing to the scenarios, what I come into these recordings with, and then we like improvise and work our way through. She's helped out a lot in the creation of Gutter in my life and in the things I brought and in ideas that I've pitched, and so I just wanted to thank Michaela so much for helping me, and she's really smart, and if you need a good writer or an artiste,
yeah,
check out Michaela Heidemann.
Check out Michaela.
At Feverfew on Instagram.
Another loved one of Gannon's.
At Michaela Heide10 on Twitter. Oh. Sorry, I just remembered that one. And another loved one of Gannon's is
Gannon's
cousin
Gio Benedetti. He's loved one of ours, all of ours.
I love him. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to get in there and just say I love you, Gio.
We love
also, I love you, Michaela. I don't want it, Michaela. We're going to say I love Gio, and I didn't say it before. I love Michaela.
I love Michaela and Gio.
And the listener.
And you guys.
And you guys, listener. And listeners.
I love the listener.
Yeah, you're already loving Michaela. You're going to love Gio as well. You probably already do if you heard our awesome theme, which you're going to hear some more of in this episode. And it is just spectacular. We, I think, are all blown away by just how expansive and awesome this music is. We wanted something that punched through your skull and stuck in the back of your craw.
And it does do that. I want to say Gio is one of the few artists that you don't have to separate the art from the artist.
That's right.
Because he's a very nice guy as well. He deserves to be standing alongside his art proudly.
That's right.
And we love that theme. Another great artist is Jimmy Knives. Jimmy Knives has done our amazing logo art, which look at all the details in that, listener. Look at a big version of that. Go on our Twitter, our Instagram, find the big version of that. Get lost in all the details. Jimmy Knives is incredible. I truly have so many prints of his already. So do Mike and Lenny, and I think I got Gannon one for Christmas one year. If you want to check out more of Jimmy's art, you can find it at Jimmy_Knives on Twitter. And from there, you can find, obviously, his shops where he sells stuff. Truly an amazing artist. We're beyond thrilled to have him doing our art. Also, I didn't shout out Gio's Twitter. Give him a follow as well. True Rockage. TrueRockage.
I think that's Instagram.
That's Instagram. He's not on Twitter anymore.
And all these.
So.
Okay.
We're going to put them all in the show notes.
They're in the show notes.
They're all in the show notes.
Should have said that.
They're in the show notes.
Damn.
And speaking of notes that we love to show,
give us a 5-star review. Why don't you?
Guys, we need to be pumped up right now. It's been a lot of effort getting this off the ground, and we would love to hear.
We would love your 5-star reviews only.
It's a good show. You know it. Look, let's just be honest.
Well, they have the rest of the episode. Maybe they'll change their
mind. Okay.
In the future, you know, who knows? We might even have ads. Ads like the one that you would possibly hear now.
Right?
Or not. That's fine. Either way.
That's fine.
Thanks for listening to the show and hope you like what's coming next. If you freaking dare.
This episode of Gutter is sponsored by Hero Forge.
Violet, Otter, it's me, Scratch. If you're listening to this tape, then it means my dark prophecy was correct. I got sucked into cyberspace after insulting an Etsy witch on an internet forum. But look, I've been digging through the pages of my archive, and I think I found just the way out. Think about it. The place where you make ideas come to life. Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customized tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. With a variety of materials, including bronze, color standees, and color plastic options, Hero Forge also offers downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home. Meaning, you could design me, Scratch Kelly, on HeroForge.com, I could possess the digital model from here in cyberspace, then you could print me into existence itself. In theory. But that's not all. HeroForge also has custom printed dice where they'll stick your favorite mini, in this case me, floating inside a die. Or you could even put that mini, me, in this case, on a keychain. Hero Forge custom acrylic keychains are printed at the same scale as the rest of Hero Forge minis and arrive already attached to a high-quality zinc alloy lobster clasp, so you can take your favorite character, in this case me, wherever you go. And if you can't quite capture my likeness, it's okay. Hero Forge is constantly expanding its catalog of customization options, adding new parts every week, so check back in and see what you missed. Listen, Violet, Otter, or anyone who finds this tape, visit HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today. It may just be the only way to set me free. And if it doesn't, well, at least you got a Scratch Mini to keep you company.
What happens when a chosen one decides he'd rather make pastries than fulfill prophecies? He opens a bakery. Absolutely No Adventures is an audio drama that follows Chosen One Sig as he dodges quests alongside his eldritch horror baking assistant and isekai'd New Yorker witch friend. In each bite-sized episode, he has a new epic adventure to avoid at all costs, while making friends and a few enemies along the way. Check us out on your favorite podcasting apps for breads, pies, cookies, cakes, and Absolutely No Adventures.
are hitting the road. Evergreen trees, evergreen trees. Little bits of yellow, red, orange. Trees blowing in the wind. We are cruising 70 down a 55 mile per hour freeway. We are moving.
What color seats are they inside Booger?
They're like dark gray seats. It's like a dark gray. It's that cloth stuff going on.
Yeah, what's it look like?
Does it smell good?
It smells good. There's air fresheners. There's little trinkets on the dash. There's like those solar powered things that rock back and forth like the Hula Girl. But different shape ones. There's one that's like a flower in a flower pot. There's one that's someone is sitting in a rocking chair. There are scrunchies everywhere. And there's like all kinds of charms, like loose charms and miscellaneous crap just strewn about. It's a fun place. But there's also enough room for you to sit, of course.
Who's got shotgun?
I think I slipped into the back.
Bodhi has sat shotgun with Violet before. Mm-hmm. We haven't hung out many times, but the times that we have hung out have been high quality hangouts, and I have been whipped around in Booger and laughed with Violet.
Smoking weed and driving.
Smoking weed, driving, talking about life.
Scratch is in the back, and, you know, as you're driving, he has the backpack open and the giant binder sitting next to him on the seat, but he's looking in there, and he's like, you hear plastic kind of rattling, like, God, fuck, they cracked the case wide fucking open. Or I did with the doors. The case is cracked. Fuck.
What's the case?
That's what a detective loves to say.
What's your... What's your deal, man? Where'd you come from?
It's an old computer, but it has some stuff on it that can't be replaced. So it's, I don't know. I just gotta try it when we get power at some point. Fuck.
Are you like a techie? You like a tech head?
Look at him. He's a tech head. Absolutely.
I'm into that stuff, but I'm not like really good. I'm not like a programmer or anything like that.
Do you want to hear something that might scare you? I don't even have a cell phone.
I mean, honestly, any hesitance over somebody not having a cell phone went out the window when I got this shiner.
Yeah, this is a different, this area is different.
If somebody needs me, no they don't.
I don't know how you ended up out here, but word to the wise, get the fuck out. Like, once we're done with this, we're dropping you off and you gotta get away from here, dude. This is dangerous as hell and you don't seem like you were up for danger. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I was just on my way, trying to be on my way back across the country.
Sorry, I just have to add an addendum. I said if somebody needs me, no they don't. If somebody needs me, they light a big fire.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll see the smoke and I come, like, legitimately.
Do they have to do something special with the fire, like smoke signals or something, or you just go to any fire?
I just go to any fire. Wow. Sort of like a human moth.
So you're like a Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, well, if there's a fire, there's probably a problem, so... You know,
I mean, sometimes it's
there's
just
a
campfire.
I'm saying, hey, what's up? What's going on here? Can Bodhi hang?
That's fair.
And then maybe you get like an extra hot dog or something.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
More,
oh
yeah.
My God, I love
nice.
Hot dogs.
Love
that's like
hot
my
dogs.
Favorite food. Back in the day, doctor told me I could only eat 2 hot dogs a day.
Damn, dude. But hot dogs are your favorite. Look,
doctors are way cooler out here. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Do you eat multiple hot dogs a day? Or how?
God,
where the fuck
I
are
wish.
You getting hot dogs?
Shipping containers.
Okay. I haven't had a hot dog in a little.
You never had a container dog, Violet?
I don't think I've had a container dog.
My God, well, keep your eyes peeled for
but
containers.
I mean, like, I literally have some in my...
You have hot dogs?
I'm coming back!
Okay. Whoa.
Whoa.
Not with me. Not in my backpack. Not in my back.
Whoa, what the hell did I just suck down? What were those glizzies?
Jesus Christ.
I ate one of your stun guns.
Those are Twinkies.
My body starts,
batteries.
Vibrating and shaking. You see my big, massive bones. Oh, my God.
What the hell?
I'm getting,
these
like,
things are thick as hell.
Yeah. Holy shit, it's like his muscles are bones.
Oh,
what?
It's actually
it's
just
an exoskeleton.
Yeah, Bodhi has an exoskeleton like a crustacean or a lobster, if you will. And just like that, he doesn't know when he's being boiled.
I have hot dogs back in my belongings and my food. And
are we driving away from that? Do we need to go stop by there?
No, it's,
you're about to pass by him, actually.
I understand that it would take a while to probably get me out of the ditch. So as long as, like, we can do your job first and come back.
We're going to come back for it. There's no time to stop.
Sure.
That whole hullabaloo, riffraff, whatever you want to call it, that shake 'em down, mix up, Sir Mix-a-Lot situation.
Brouhaha. Yeah.
Brouhaha, that's a good
calamity,
one.
Calamity.
Calamity.
Battle.
That battle.
The excursion.
That battle
I like
that
the
happened.
Sir Mix-a-Lot situation.
Yeah,
I'm still stuck on that.
I'm going to try to beat it. I'm going to try to beat it. Hold on. I'm just thinking about hot dogs right now. Honestly, it's kind of hard to think after I swallowed that stun gun. And
anyway.
Yeah.
That's got me a bit behind.
You look out of the window and you see a little trailer turn sideways in the ditch. And then you see what kind of car? Toyota Previa.
That's Ganon's stand-in car.
See a Toyota Previa also in the ditch, upside down, but on fire.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
But it's not nearby any trees or anything, so it's fine.
On fire.
It's fine. It's not fine to me, GM. Jesus Christ, that's my fucking car.
Fire. Fire. You guys, we got to go to the fire.
Is the trailer going to light on fire with that car on fire?
It is positioned in such a way that it is in, there's actually water in the ditch, so it's not going to catch on anything, but the car's fucked.
Okay.
Oh my God, those fucking dicks. They fucking, my fucking car. That's my only way home.
Okay. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it right now.
That is not good. You are in a bad situation.
I'm in a bad situation. I'm fucked.
At least 2 hours until you have to worry about this bad situation.
I'm going
to
pass out.
Drive on by.
Do not pass out. Do not pass out.
I'm going to pass.
Okay, Bodhi.
Come on. I'm going back there. I'm climbing back. I'm going to hold him. I'm holding
you're being cradled by a large man.
I smell sort of like leather and tobacco from the bar, and the leather is from the leather seats at the bar. I smell like virgin gin and tonics from the bar. I smell like Wild Hogs DVDs from the bar. I smell like that guy's ear.
I smell like that guy's saliva. No, I don't.
This is fucking...
This is fucking crazy. This is so fucking crazy.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
What the fuck is my life?
It's horrible. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, let's just go.
Do you want
to? We'll just go to your job and then I'll just. And then I.
He's like, tears in his eyes. His eyes are like totally like watering, but he's laughing like very. Genuinely, in a cuckoo crazy way. This boy's been pushed to his limit and beyond.
Bodhi recognizes his rookie teammate is, you know, losing it right now.
Mm.
And he gives him a firm hand on the shoulder and tries to silently and psychically ground this man. And he's holding him.
Hey, you got a favorite song?
Disco Inferno.
Okay.
I don't know why. But, burn, oh, burn, baby, burn. Oh,
Disco
God. No,
burn,
my God.
Burn. No,
fuck.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Wow. That's really ironic, though, I have to say. I'm sorry.
The trees. You can see the tree line breaking a little bit.
I'm sorry. I'll say it.
These, like, industrial spires, like, wiry industrial spires, you know, sort of little flames popping up off of some of them. You're coming into the port town of Port Morn. Port Morn, which is an industrial town with a large port. There's several coastal areas that were reintegrated back into the United States and aren't these kind of anarchic no man's lands known as the Warp. Some, for economic reasons or what have you, needed to be brought back in, and this is one of those areas. Port Morn, you guys are like pulling in, and it's like, you know, it's pretty cute. I mean, when you're this close to the coast, a lot of new housing, not a lot of old housing, but it's all done up to in the sort of classic Washington style, kind of evoking, you know, kind of cabiny logs, like rusticness, but, you know, all rather new. Also a lot of cheap housing and this and that, but there's like a lot of sort of like weird kind of like wiry, you know, it's like those kind of almost medieval weird industrial zones around the town. And now you're driving through, and they have kind of a center sprawl that looks kind of cute, you know, cute little hardware stores, tourist traps,
Bodhi is comforting Scratch still. There's still an responsibility that is distracting Bodhi a little bit, but being this close to a, you know, large settlement is making Bodhi's hackles raise a little bit, and he slinks down in the backseat because he went back there to go hold Scratch, and now he's sort of like shrinking a little bit, but he's still got a job to do, so he's...
You guys doing okay back there? Yeah, I know it's...
We're fine. We're both fine.
You're both fine. Okay, yeah. Great.
Scratch is just like vacant. So he's just very chill. He has compartmentalized like reality from this moment right here. But he's like slunk back in the chair, eyes like half open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's barely paying attention as Bodhi is taking out various jewel cases of DVDs and being like, yeah, this is Happy Gilmore.
Grown ups too. Huh?
Mm-hmm, this is Euro Trip. Freddy Got Fingered.
Rat Race.
Mm-hmm. You got a lot from that 90s, early 2000s there. That's a pretty curated haul.
I mean, it's just sort of what they had. You know, I bring back what they have.
I guess they were focused on a certain time.
Got the movie Freeway with Kiefer Sutherland.
Freeway. Haven't seen it.
Young Reese Witherspoon.
Mm.
Okay, I'm just calling it now.
They both died in the big one.
When we're done. Okay.
You're calling it now?
I'm calling it now that when we're done delivering this, I want to go eat over there. And Violet points out the window at this little cute restaurant. There's a couple people sitting outside.
Morge's Porridge.
Somebody's taking a big chomp of a hot dog outside.
Look at, oh my God, hot dog. Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Running out the window. Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Bodhi's face is pressed against the window in a comical way. It's pancaked out. It's completely flat.
His face is so big it covers the whole window.
His whole face and body are pressed against the window so flat, and he slithers out through the small crack in the top of the window and like a manta ray floats to the hot dog and eats it up.
We lost him.
And then he shoots back up and goes, headbutt level 3. And he smashes into the town, causing a second big one, Cascadia event.
They're about all in the car, and they're driving. Now we're sort of like driving, and there's a large park. There's a lot of parking lots in this motherfucking world. But you're driving through a large parking lot that sort of slopes down, and you are just in time to get the, let's see what time it is right now, 7:30 p.m. ferry, sunsets around 8:30, so you should be able to get there before the sun is fully set. So the ferries, these things are pretty, and they're cool. This is big, and it's very weather-worn, like, as you can imagine. I mean, it's had a few sets of paint, but I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a big honking white with big green stripes, 3 stories up, you know, room for people to like walk around, grab some peanuts from the vending machine. So you guys are now in like the car line, like sort of pulling into the area where you can take the car into the under, I don't know what you call it, but the undercarriage of the ferry.
Mm.
Going on in. Everyone's getting on in there. Gunk, gunk. You got your little... Here's my little ticket, because you have to take these sometimes for your courier packages there, Violet.
I hate the ferry. Fun fact.
Wow.
The ferry sucks.
You or Violet?
Violet.
Okay. I didn't know if Eleni was just, like, opening up to us. Like,
no, Eleni would like the ferry. What?
I'd like the ferry.
Well, that's why I thought it was worth... I mean, if Eleni were to say this, it would be worth saying on a podcast, because everybody would be surprised.
I like hot dogs, and my character likes hot dogs, by the way, for the record.
I like fairies, and my character hates fairies.
Wow. I haven't seen Wild Hogs. Haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it
either. Oh, shit.
Damn. I might like it. I don't know.
I've never done a headbutt level 3.
I've never shot someone's ear off.
Dude, everything checks out for me so far.
You got it all.
The ferry is leaving the harbor now. You guys get out of the car, and you head upstairs to the general area. There's, like, some people sitting on benches. There's, like, no food or anything fancy or bars or anything like that, but there's, like, a vending machine that's got sodas and chips. And looking out, the sky is... It's still blue, and there's just a great expanse of big, beautiful clouds and the huge mountains in the distance. I mean, that's something that is really beautiful about... the West Coast, and I mean anywhere that's got a big beautiful mountain in the distance, but there's like gorgeous snow-capped mountains cresting above these huge swells of evergreen trees with that little fall sprinkling put in, and you guys are cruising over the sea. The sea's kind of still. It's not super crazy, but it's got a good wind. It's got that salty air smell. Salty air and, you know, sort of muddy feet. You know, it's like a place where, like, people are walking around. It's a little soggy, is that kind of scent. But, like, the water's very still. You can see sort of a couple fishing boats floating out, you know. 10 years! 10 years since the really big one. It looked quite different 10 years ago, but we don't have to get into that. But you guys cruising... cruising.
I just want to say one thing. As you described that beautiful scene, the way you described it, and I'm sitting here imagining it, and oh my gosh, even I, in real life, I'm thinking that sounds beautiful. But Scratch in that moment is quietly, he's kind of leaning over the side of the boat and does have a look of wonder on his face at this beautiful sight, as if he hasn't really been taking the time to check out these beautiful sights. But at the same time, there are, like, tears silently rolling down his face.
Mm. Violet is nearby, leaning backwards on the railing, and she turns to them, and she's like, "You guys, I normally do not like taking people in my car and being on the ferry.
Mm.
Especially being on the ferry. I do not like being on the ferry. But today, I think it's kind of fun. I think..." And I'm so sorry, Scratch. I'm sorry. Selfishly, though, this is a fantastic distraction for me on this day that I think kind of sucks.
Sure.
Fantastically entertaining, though still really bad. Really bad for you. But for me,
totally
kind
bad.
Of cool.
Totally. Mm, totally.
So, thanks.
I would shot a guy's ear off.
Bodhi has produced a baseball cap, which he's now kind of slunk over his eyes a little bit, and there's like a kooky cat on the top of the baseball cap. It's a baseball cat on a baseball cap. And Bodhi's eyes are sort of covered, and he's like, yeah, totally agree. Agree, hard agree. Love here. Love it. Love being here. Love being on the ferry as well.
About 40 minutes pass or whatever. The sky starts turning with colors of orange and purple, like beautiful, very dramatic clouds. The sun is just starting to set. You're getting a little nervous, Violet. You're holding that package a little tighter. But we're pulling into the dock at Shaw Island, which is the smallest of the San Juan archipelago that ferries come to. Violet, you probably have never come to this one before because it is the least populated. Mostly you would know is a lot of vacation homes. Some rich guys have houses here, you know. After the really big one, you can imagine a lot of those houses need to get rebuilt. There's also a monastery, sometimes called the Holy Island, because there's like a bunch of nuns who live on this island. But you pull into the dock, everyone's back in the car, brum, brum, and you drive off the ferry. Now, here we are on Shaw Island. You sort of are like driving, and no one else got off the ferry. Everyone else was getting off on other stops, but it was just you getting off on Shaw Island, and the island itself feels quite remote, quite empty. I mean, you're just surrounded by sea, by ocean, trees everywhere.
Bodhi's much happier to be away from all the people on the ferry. He was feeling a little claustrophobic in there.
Yeah. You're seeing occasional houses all kind of in the rustic build, but relatively recently built. You're cruising along the bay. There's like a little general store. But it's like you're not seeing any cars. You're not really seeing any other people. Violet... do you need Google Maps or Wi-Fi to be able to find a place?
I think that I have some paper maps.
I like that.
But when there is like internet access, I do have a phone that could access the internet. Right. But yeah.
I imagine on the boat, you are sort of checking at the location. This is like sort of like midway into the island. There's like a big, big forest on like half of the island. Actually, most of the island, but there's a very thick forest. And this is sort of in the precipice between... the kind of houses, the more houses and, you know, hiking trails and camping, you know, outdoorsy stuff. Mm. And like this big, big forest where no one really lives. So you're driving now and you're driving past these houses now. And you start to see a lot of cars parked here, which is surprising because you haven't really seen any cars on the side.
Party.
Yes, exactly. And you're sort of hearing music in the distance, sort of sounds maybe like classical music played live or something. And, and you're seeing up ahead the estate of Barry Treble, your Uber boss of West Coast Logistics, WCL, the courier company you work for. It's about three stories tall. It's, I don't know, tastefully bad taste, you know? Like, not like tastefully bad taste, like, I don't know, Balenciaga shoes or something, like bad to look bad, but like, a college-educated but not very intelligent person's idea of what good taste is. It's like big glass windows, sort of like in a circular style, and also built in the last 10 years, maybe in the last 5 years. But it's very big, and there's like a giant forest behind it. Just, I guess, imagine like a sort of central, circular, windowed house, and then sides going that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But it's very rich, very fancy. I mean, he's your super boss, and clearly this dude's got it made in the shade.
She's singing, fancy, 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 fancy.
Damn, think we could get some hors d'oeuvres from this party?
I will do my very best.
It's kind of nice.
I do have to put the package in my freaking super boss's hands. I've never met this man. Yeah.
You're trying to remember what his face looked like. You sure you've seen a picture of him at some point?
Oh,
balding maybe. He was balding maybe. But it's like one of the it's a CEO face. You know, it's not.
I don't
much
know.
Much you remember?
I don't know.
Sort of looks like Tim Walls a bit.
I'm just a little peon. I don't talk to the CEO.
Dude, ask for a raise.
Dude, I should ask for a raise. Did he give you some weed? You should try.
No, this is just like I feel like
the come down.
The come down, brother.
Hey, oh, boy.
V, you ever open any of these packages? Like, what the heck's even in there?
You do not open these packages. Early on, I opened a package. Dude, that was not a good idea. I opened more than one package, but I learned very aggressively that you are not supposed to open up packages because bad things will happen to you.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was scary. Injuries, stuff, drama.
Dude, people are always eating my fries when I order DoorDash. They're always eating my fries or taking a sip of my drink. I just know it.
How can you tell?
Right. I just know it.
You can just, there's like a feeling, you know.
Does it taste like spit or something?
No, well, no, but it's just like, there's like less than there should be, and so it's got to be their fault, and nothing happens to them, so that's crazy, honestly.
What do you want to happen to them?
Cut a finger off.
No, okay. I'm cool.
He's cool.
But I mean, fuck, the fries cost $9 and the delivery, Jesus. I'm cool though.
They cost $9 where you're from? They cost $0 from shipping containers where I go.
Well, they cost even more out here. Let me tell you that much. I've been ordering DoorDash for the past 6 months because I can't cook. And,
oh my gosh.
And let me tell you, no job?
So,
no.
Are you rich?
No.
What do you have in that
bathroom? I have like no money actually at all. Uh-huh. That's one of the reasons I'm going home. I don't even have enough gas. So I guess it doesn't matter how much gas I have because my car is on fire. I have no car either. My car was like blown up.
Okay.
You're going to be all right, buddy. You're going to be all right. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the wild side.
You guys, I got to go. I got to drop this off. And then we are going to figure out your life. Okay. We're going to figure out your life, man.
I mean, honestly, as long as my camper is okay, that costs $40,000. I can't lose my camper too, I swear to God.
Violet's eyes turn into money signs.
It's probably fine. Look, hey, man, that camper, you left it next to a burning fire. You know,
and there's a propane tank. There's a propane tank. Oh,
no.
Okay, it's fine. No,
what I was trying to say is the fire is going to scare away the, like, animals and the, you know.
They won't eat the hot dogs.
They're not going to mess with your stuff.
Okay.
Violet shot that guy's ear.
Which was not good. I am very upset that I did not manage to shoot him in the head and
face. Violet, what's your body count? Like, how many people have you wasted?
Cold chill goes up your spine.
I have to go deliver this package. Okay. I'm going to go.
You hop out the car and you're holding the package. Buddy's watching from the car.
Vi, you want me to come with?
No.
You sure?
Absolutely not. Stay away. Also learn that lesson.
Buddy looks at Scratch. He's like, should I go follow her?
I mean,
she turns around again. No.
Oh,
no.
You're walking up some steps towards the front door, which is, it's like a nice wood front door. Gold handle. Little electronic ring-a-ding-ding-dong. Go press the electronic ring-a-ding-ding-dong. Bing-bong. And the door, like, opens right away. And there's, like, a woman. There's a woman there. She's got a little black vest on. You know, she's party down style, you know. You can sort of hear it in the distance, you know. Laughing, classical music. There's party going on. You can smell nice food. Like, it's barbecue, but it's, like, I don't know. What are they cooking? There's some nice stuff going on there. Anyway, you're sort of entranced by all of it. This woman with, you know, she's set up to cater a party, and she's got a little bun in her head.
Good evening, day, good day, evening. And Violet, like,
hello.
Bows.
Hello, can I help you?
I'm here to, yes, VIP delivery for Barry Treble, CEO.
Yes, Mr. Barry Treble. He is expecting this.
Uh-huh.
And can you just wait at your car for a moment? We'll see if I can get him and bring him on out.
I'm supposed to give him the package.
Yeah, he will come, and you can put it in his hands yourself. And she gives a little smile. She's got a gold tooth.
Okay.
Back of her mouth.
Thank you.
No problem, she says.
Bye.
Bye. Door closes.
Well, they really did not want to let her in that party.
Yeah, it seems that way. Bodhi's head is fully craned out of the window, like Skibbity Toilet coming out of the toilet. Like, he's looking and trying to see everything. His eyes are periscoping out to try to see what was happening.
Violet looks back over at the car and sort of, like, makes a face at the guys in the car, like, oh, God.
I think that's a no hors d'oeuvres face.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I wonder what was in that box, though. Bodhi, like,
it was pretty freaky.
Pulls out a .45 Colt revolver, just whoa, casually, Jesus. Like while he's looking out the window. The fuck was that in that box?
Okay, man. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
What's in your pockets?
Violet, you're sort of thinking, next ferry leaves 9:30. It's 8:20 or something right now, so you should be fine. You should be fine. You think?
Yeah.
You should be fine. Doing one of the little time things. It's 8:40, 8:50, and you're in the car. You guys are talking and sitting around. You keep looking over.
We're playing 20 questions, but really it's infinity questions the way we play.
It's 9:10, it's 9:20, it's 9:25, and you're like, and now the sun has set, but yeah, I mean, you're here, so you did everything right. So
okay.
You're like, but you're feeling quite anxious now because the ferry's going to be arriving and also leaving soon. And
in 5 minutes?
No, let's say it's 15 minutes, whatever.
Okay.
9:15, whatever, who cares? 15 minutes, the ferry will be arriving.
I was going to say, if it was 5 minutes.
10 minutes to leave.
How long does it take to get there?
I personally, Eleni S., I'd be knocking on that door at 9.
Yeah.
I'd be knocking on that door 75 times.
Yeah. Should you go ask if you can use the bathroom, maybe? Go look around,
around? They just go up and ring the bell again, finally, because there's 15 minutes left. Knock on the door.
You go knock on the door, and then huge deafening explosion. You are knocked
what
off of your feet.
Whoa!
Violet, you are knocked off of your feet.
But I have the package.
I know. You're holding the package right now.
Oh, my God.
And all of a sudden, you just hear a loud noise, and you are lifted off your feet by a strange it is strange, because you're not lifted off your feet every day. Boom! Deafening loud boom. Knocked off your feet. You're rolling down the steps. We'll just say it's a dodge roll. So you just do a dodge roll. Give Eleni the dice. So from the car, you look and you see Violet knock on the door, and then, boom, it's just like all the glass in the windows, these big windows, sort of like blow out and are just like raining down, smacking down on the car, falling down like panes. You guys are either shouting or you're...
Bodhi jumps out of the car like Ralph Wiggum going through the window, but reverse. He's out and he is running to whatever the verdict of this roll is.
Yeah, I pass.
Okay, great. So So you sort of come to mid-explosion, and you're off your feet, but you come to the ground, and you kind of roll through it.
What a pro.
You roll through it right at Bodhi's feet, sort of action-ready Nightcrawler stance. And you're like, what? And you have the package in your hand still somehow.
We okay? Everybody
but you're,
okay?
You're seeing just, like, glass sort of, like, falling everywhere.
What the fuck?
And what the fuck is right, Vi?
Run!
There's a smoke plume rising from behind the estate. You can see it rising now, and the music has stopped, and you're hearing the sounds of shouting and yelling.
Bodhi is going to run across to the other side of this house because he didn't come all this way just to drop a package off. He came here because he saw something on that package that reminded him of something that he saw a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he needs some sort of answer.
Okay, Bodhi, as you are running around the side of the house to try and get a look of what's going on, you can start to see a sort of like backyard thing, but then you hear something strange. You hear something very strange. It's like, I don't know, it's like a landing, like a bird landing or a person landing or something. You can't really register quickly if it's on the roof or whatever. You look up on the roof and you see through the smoke, this billowing cloud of smoke underlit by the lights of the home and the party, the smoke pouring into the sky. There's something sitting on top of the mansion, and you look, something thin, leathery, and it looks back at you with watery red eyes and huge wings just burst out of its back, and just like that, it flies through the smoke over and above the trees to the north.
And Bodhi instinctively has his Colt 45 in his hand, and he is tracing the flight of this thing.
Give me a veil roll real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first veil roll. Veil rolls are our replacement for sanity rolls. The idea is that through our lives, when we see something difficult, we need a veil to keep us from breaking apart, but perhaps there's also something beautiful from beyond the veil, and when something challenges that veil, we do a veil roll. Bodhi, what did we get?
Bodhi passed his veil roll.
Okay. So.
But he is not going to fire on this thing. Mm-hmm. He's just tracking it with the gun. And he's... Is this thing going to fly away?
It's gone.
And he...
It's like you saw it for a moment. You don't even know what you saw, but you know you saw it.
Because why would you see something and then immediately shoot it? Just because there was an explosion. But in case it did turn its gaze on Bodhi, Bodhi was ready to blast. Ooh, what the fuck? And he turns to hear the people screaming and to look back just to see if Violet followed or if Scratch is there or...
Well, if it was on top of the mansion, I assume we all saw it, right?
Yes. Yes, Bodhi saw it first, but I think if you guys were all looking in that area... Yes, so can I get veil rolls from both Scratch and Violet?
So I have to get lower in order to pass?
That's right. Okay. And that's how we do it.
I failed.
You failed. Okay. You are going to take 1d4 veil. Ooh, you're taking -3 to your veil. So you have an uncontrollable action, you know. It's like kind of a freak out moment. Like, so you see something terrifying and you sort of like lose control of your body. What do?
A little bit of pee comes out.
Oh! You yell. Bodhi, you hear, you're tracing with your gun, you hear Violet yell,
I smell the pee come out of her.
No, you don't. There's not that much pee.
If there's one thing Bodhi likes more than hot dogs, it's urine.
So you can just smell this whole party. I'm sure tons of people are peeing.
I know, it's really throwing off my urine sense. There's piss everywhere, and not a drop to spare.
No, Bodhi hears his friend Violet scream, and... Are we still hearing screams from the wealthy partygoers?
Yeah, you're still hearing screams.
Bodhi does want answers from those partygoers, but Violet is a friend. So back to the road we go.
Okay.
Also, the fairy is leaving.
Yeah, you're looking at the time and it's
like... I'm not
like,
even thinking about
it's
fairy
go
right
time.
Now.
I am.
So I was still in the car looking up and laughing at this explosion and seeing the fire and the smoke rise. But then... Finally, I don't see it initially, but when it lifts up into the sky and then starts to take off, that's when I see the flying beast, and I rolled so poorly on my veil, which is appropriate because I see this and I hear in my head for the first time, it's as if I can actually hear it again. I hear, Augur,
Ogre.
Echoes of a horrifying vision I had many, many, many years ago. 20 years ago, almost.
Yeah, you're going to take -1 to your veil. You're losing it. It is frightening, but next thing you know, everyone's back in the car. Car starting up. You are hitting the road as fast as you can. Street still clear. Street still clear and open. You are rushing as fast as you can. Violet, you have so many things on your mind, but right now you're thinking, dear God, do not let me be stuck on this island with whatever that is that I just saw.
Dear God, do not let me be stuck on this island with whatever that is that I just saw.
I don't know. Those people back there might know what the fuck that was.
We're fucked.
Do you still have the package?
I still got the package.
I still have the package, and the house fucking exploded.
We're fucked.
So can we open it?
Yes. She puts a finger up in the air and is like really excited to open it.
Do you mind? And Bodhi has it in his hand.
Do I mind?
Violet, you are just looking at the road right now.
Open it.
But then you see up at, so you make a turn, you're turning to see the ferry, and the ferry is pulling out. Right
no.
Now.
No. Oh,
it is
fuck.
Too far out now. And the lights in the ferry just go off.
Oh, they go off?
Yeah.
Oh. What the fuck does that mean?
Well?
We're fucked. We're fucked.
Bodhi, you just opened up this package and you're looking in. And what you're seeing is very strange. Camera's pulling out. We're seeing Shaw Island. We're seeing the smoke rising from the center of Shaw Island. The camera's pulling over. We're seeing the party. We see partygoers in fine attire, wandering and crawling out of the exploded estate. Wounded, limping, limbs twisted, something horrible going on. We see, bursting between these partygoers, a man in a suit. He's holding another man on his back. And this man is running into the woods. And in the distance, we hear a helicopter. Something. For a moment, for a split second, blots out the rising moon. Blackout!
Woo! What the fuck does that mean?
What it means.
Oh, my. Ah. Ah.
There we go, that's episode one.
Yay! Good job!
Yes, 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 yes.
I'm excited that my guy likes hot dogs.
Love that.
Love
hot dogs. Great excuse to incorporate hot dogs more into my life and write it off, you know, tax reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Free hot dogs.
What's the guy's name? Barry Treble?
Barry Treble. Yeah. CEO, WCL Logistics.
This is the boss of the Funker. This would be like delivering a tweet to Elon Musk.
Oh, I think you mean a post. Oh my god, that guy's so cool.
Azit? Is that what they call them?
A sheet?
No, what post, the hell?
That's the boring thing. Azit would be like interesting.
Oh, the boring thing. You must be talking about his big business in Los Angeles. The boring company.
That is the kind of humor from a Musk fan that I'd love to see.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
He hasn't been canceled yet in our universe, listeners.
He's very freaking epic.
The king.
He's so happy right now. Yeah. He's hanging out in Hollywood.
Still,
everyone loves
he's
him.
He's working at the Emerald Mine. He never left South Africa.